Amen. 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 Thank you so much, Joe, and part of your team. Thank you. And we are grateful for y'all and for the Lord. And again, thank you so much for last night, everybody who had a part. Man, the setup and the cooking and the cleaning and the bringing and the everything. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. And it's good to have Pastor Tim and Miss Dina back. It's good to see them. Yes, it's always special when they're here. I miss y'all when you're not. Timmy was talking about he was just dying to hear some strong, hard preaching. I said, well, you should have been here last week. I can't help when he decides to come, you know. But no, he's off preaching. He's been preaching in a couple different places, and you keep praying for him. He's got a mission opportunity that we actually get to be a part of. I'll tell you about that whenever that comes to fruition. But just continue to pray for them and what the Lord, how the Lord is still using them in some amazing ways. And Dina is in the fudge business now as well. Amen. Yeah, yeah. So that's If you need any fudge, come talk to Dina. All right. Yeah, we're grateful for them, and so thankful for them. I'm telling you, I told someone last night, Timmy, a pastor friend of mine was here, and he said, man, I didn't know you were pastoring again. I said, yeah, da 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 da. And he was talking about, you know, what happened to the other guy. I said, well, he's right there, actually. And I said, you know what? And here's what I told him. I said, I know, because I've heard so many stories of how a lot of different churches and different pastors, for whatever reason, when the guy who was here stays, a lot of times it doesn't work out well. And I praise God that is not my testimony of our Pastor Timmy. Amen. Amen. So, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I'm thrilled when you're here. And so, anyway, with all that being said, next week, I told you this week, but next week we're going to start a series on We Believe in the Word of God, but not today. I was planning to start today, but I'm going to be completely honest with you. I'm not completely prepared for that series. There's a lot there. It's been a busy week. It's been a crazy week, and I'm sure many of you can relate. And I didn't spend the time, energy required for such an important topic. So come back next week. And if I'm not ready by next week, I'll just have a guest preacher come, okay? And so I know, Lord willing, I'll be ready for that topic. I want to continue some thoughts from last week today. And I remember last week I spoke on this subject, when a fighter loses his fight. I don't know of a believer who has not faced that at some season in life. So what I share today, I also think we really all can relate with. It's something that has affected us all in the past. It's something that will, at some time, I really believe, affect us all. I don't really think anyone is immune from it, and that is discouragement. Discouragement. It may be a few days for you of being discouraged. It may last a few weeks. For some, it's a battle really over a long extended time. I'm talking about a time when you feel defeated or sort of just bummed out, for lack of a better word. Maybe it's a time when you're not really hearing from the Lord, or you hear more bad news than you do good news. Nothing is going like you want. Maybe you get a bad medical report, or you hear some devastating news. Your family can't get along, and maybe you don't like your new pastor. I don't know, but it goes on and on. The list goes on and on. It could be anything. Believers are not exempt from discouragement. I said believers are not exempt from discouragement. With all that in mind, I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. I've made an observation over the last year or so, and I don't preach enough from the Old Testament. And so I want to really make a conscious effort moving forward to preach more from the Old Testament. This is only the third or fourth message I recall from the Old Testament, and I really want to make a more conscious effort to preach more, because preaching only half the Bible will only make half a Christian. Amen? And so let's look at Genesis chapter 17, and I want to speak this morning on this subject, a journey through discouragement. A journey through discouragement. Genesis chapter 17, I'll begin reading in verse 1. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. Now when Abram was 99 years old, and timeline's very important, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "For I am God Almighty, and I want you to walk before me, and I want you to be blameless. For I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly." And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, for my covenant is with you, and you will be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham," or I think more accurately is Abraham. "For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your descendants after you. And I will give to you," now listen to this, "and to your descendants after you, the land of your sojournings or wanderings, and all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." And now all of that sounds really great. For God to promise you all of those things. You will have children who will become kings. That'd be pretty cool. Your children will become kings. You are part of this everlasting covenant with God. You will inherit an immeasurable portion of land. That sounds pretty good. That land, by the way, was important. It's not as important to us anymore. You hear this, you talk about this a lot. When a generation passes by, you know what usually happens to the family farm? They used to grow cotton there, and now what do they grow? Houses there. That's right. And listen, because it's interesting, and I think it's important for pastors to talk about things that are going on. You really can't fault the next generation for becoming multimillionaires overnight, in a way. But the point is, this land was important to them. It's something that we really can't comprehend. You see, that land meant substance, and it meant stability. And so that all sounds really great. And so, Pastor, why in the world are you implying that Abram dealt with discouragement? And I'm going to tell you exactly why. Because Abram had heard the very same speech. He had heard it when he was 75 years old, and now he's 99 years old, and none of those things had come true. Think back to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12 is the fifth most important event in the book of Genesis. Most important event, five, let me give them quickly. First, creation. If you know anything about your Bible, you need to know about, first of all, creation. Second, the fall. Thirdly, the flood. Fourthly, the Tower of Babel. And then fifthly, if you want to be a Bible student and a Bible scholar, you need to know, fifthly, about the call of Abraham. Those are the five most important events in the book of Genesis. God approached him when he was 75 years old. And he said, Abram, I want you to leave your land. I want you to leave your father's land. In fact, I want you to leave actually most of your relatives, and I want you to go to a land where you have never been. I want you to leave everything you know behind, and I want you to go by faith. And I'm going to do something for you. In fact, I'm making a covenant with you that I'm going to make your name great and all the people on the earth, key word, notice this, and all the people on the earth will be blessed by you. We'll talk about in a minute what in the world that could possibly mean. Abram probably had a lot of questions. A lot of his questions are actually not recorded, but I assume he had some. He probably wondered, where in the world am I going? Don't worry. I want you to leave and I want you to go to a land in which I will show you. He probably said, how long is it going to take? Don't worry about that. Just leave everything you know behind by faith and I'm going to take you to a land in which you know not of. He probably wondered, will I be able to come back? Hey, it doesn't matter. Don't worry about that. Will it be a struggle? Hey, will it be easy? None of those things mattered in Genesis chapter 12. Now, and here in Genesis chapter 17, as a young man of 99 years old, he hears the very same script. For 24 years now, he's heard the exact same script, the exact same story, the exact same page, the exact same chapter. And God even told him, I want you to notice this, talking about a journey through discouragement, because there were times when Abram was discouraged. Who wouldn't be over 24 years of hearing the exact same promise and nothing coming true? God told him the exact same thing in Genesis chapter 13. Look at Genesis chapter 13. He told him in chapter 12 what he was going to do. That was a covenant. He made a covenant with him. And then in Genesis chapter 13, verse 14, he said, Genesis chapter 13, verse 14, for the Lord said to Abram, hey, after Lot had separated from him, I want you to lift up your eyes and I want you to look from the place where you are, north and south, east and west, for all the land which you see, I will give it to you and to your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if anyone can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants can also be numbered. Arise, and I want you to walk through the land, through its length, its breadth, for I will give it to you. So Abram moved in his tent and dwelt in the oaks of Mamre. I'll stop there. God told him the exact same thing in Genesis chapter 12. He told him the exact same thing in Genesis chapter 13. God told him the exact same thing in Genesis chapter 15. God told him the exact same thing in Genesis chapter 12, in Genesis chapter 13, in Genesis chapter 15, and now again in Genesis chapter 17. Now these are the only places that are recorded. He may have told him even more, and I sort of, in my sanctified imagination, think he did. Abram has heard all of these promises for 24 years, and he's 99 years old, and he's still without one single legitimate son. Do you think he was a bit discouraged and a bit defeated and a bit uncertain? You say, well, Pastor, people lived a lot longer back then. And that's true, but he couldn't see into the future to know how long he would live. Now, we know he lived to be 175 years old. But just from a mathematical perspective, he was already, listen to this, 10 years past half of his life. I want you to compute that to your age. You don't have to do it out loud, but compute that to your age and life expectancy. I think it's somewhere around 78 years in America for a male. And so I want you to take half of that plus 10, and that'll put you around near 50 years old. There are exceptions of what I'm about to say. Most of these exceptions are female exceptions. But most men in their 50s, unlike women, are a little past their prime. Agreed? Yes. Amen. Thank you, Joe. Thank you. Joe knows. I'm a Joe fan. Joe knows the truth. Amen. Abram, he was past his prime. He was 99. Let me tell you what that means. That Abram knew exactly how old he was. He knew things were starting to stack up against him. Because that's why he did what he did with the Egyptian slave, by the way. Father Time is undefeated. I want you to imagine for a moment how many people traveling with him began to really question his mental state. Maybe they said something like, Abram, are we there yet? And he'd say, I don't even know where we're going. So I don't know. They had to question his mental state. Abram, you said that you were going to be a father of a great nation. Where are all your sons? You do not have to have a seminary degree to make some real life observations from this text. For 24 long years, you have heard God make all of those promises. And you've not seen really any of them come true. He was promised to be a father of a great nation, and now at 99 years old, he only had one illegitimate son. He was about 13 years old with an Egyptian slave. The son, listen to what the Bible would say about this son that he did have. The son would be like a wild donkey, and his hand would be against everyone, and everyone would be against him. He was promised all portions of land. Listen to this. And if I'm wrong here, it's an honest mistake and I've missed it. But watch this. To my knowledge, he was promised all this land. And at the age of 99 years old, he still doesn't own one speck of dirt. He had possessions and he had livestock. But the only speck of dirt he owned, he actually had to buy. Genesis chapter 23. He bought a plot of dirt. Guess what it was? It was a burial plot for his wife. Only speck of dirt he owned, unless I missed something. In Genesis chapter 23, he even referred to himself as an alien. He was a nomad. He was a wandering stranger. He was a vagabond. He was a discouraged, defeated, wandering stranger with no place to call home. Sure, he had experienced some highs. I think the lows sort of outweighed the highs, but let me just give you a few things he experienced in just a few chapters. Because this is all a long intro into a very important point. Chapter 12 and verse 10, there was a famine in the land. He experienced that. Chapter 12, verse 13, he concocted this lie to lie to the Egyptians to get out of some heat. Chapter 12 and verse 15, his wife was actually taken by Pharaoh's household. In chapter 13 and verse 2, he did acquire some livestock and some silver, so he did have some possessions. But in chapter 13 and verse 9, his nephew was gone. In fact, he had to go fight to get him back. In chapter 16, he devised this plan to have a son his own way. You know why? Because Father Time's undefeated. And he realized how old he was. And he knew all those promises God made him. And he also knew none of them had come true. He probably thought often, did God really speak to me? Have I just been hearing things? Is my life really important? Hey, does this life really matter? Listen to this. Is God just a figment of my imagination? When we're in the middle of something, I want to say this, it's very hard for us to focus on the bigger picture. Because the big picture, God was going to bless the entire world through him, which is really hard to believe. What in the world does that even mean? Through him, what does that mean? Well, he was referring here to the family tree. Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to the 12 tribes of Israel to Judah to David and then even on to Jesus Christ himself. And so what he was promising him is the lineage of the Messiah is going to come through you and the entire world is going to be saved and rescued and blessed through you. That's what he was talking about. But Abraham didn't understand that. Or Abram didn't understand that. And so the reality is it's so hard to focus on the big picture when so many things are going wrong. Just this week, in 1 week, I've been made aware of a baby who died before birth. A man I know very well in the paper accused of despicable acts. A family in shambles over addiction. People struggling with serious, serious medical conditions, all in 1 week. And you hear all these stories and you think, how in the world is this happening? And how in the world is God going to be glorified in all of these things? And sometimes you can think, hey, Lord, have I been forgotten? Lord, have I been overlooked? And let me just say, you can't dwell on that thought, but that thought can pop into your head. And we can't stay there, and we can't dwell there, and we can't make our home there, because the Bible says we're to take every thought captive, but we do live in a fallen world with a sin nature. And life can be overwhelming. And sometimes the big picture can be so far out of focus. You see, Abram had to be discouraged. He had to be defeated. And I don't think that's necessarily sinful, but we can't stay there and we can't dwell there because those are human emotions and human thoughts. And here's the reality. God already knew everything he was thinking. He already knows everything you're thinking and everything I'm thinking and have thought and will think. God knew all those things on his heart and his mind, and God still loved him. And God still cared for him. You see, God had a plan in motion actually long before Abram was born. In Genesis chapter 3, he promised a coming Savior. And he knew then, the foreknowledge of God, he knew that the lineage would come through a man who would be born one day by the name of Abram. I want you to think about this when you're down, when you're defeated. Here's what I want to share the next few minutes. When you're down, when you're defeated, when you're discouraged, there are a few things you need to remember. One is something I want to read, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You need to remind yourself, and that's why it's so important to know and to read and to study and to meditate upon the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. When you're going through the fire, when you're defeated, when you're discouraged, you need to remember a few things. Number one, remember this text. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. I'll wait for the pages for everybody to find their place. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. If you're having trouble finding it, it's right past 1 Corinthians. And if you can't find it, just look on with your neighbor. That's fine. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. For we are afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but not despairing. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. For always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. You need to remind yourself of that text. And then I want you to remember a few things I'm about to share from Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17, it's almost as if, because it makes a major transition, and it's almost as if God stepped on the scene and said, Abram, Man, I know what you're going through. Abram, I know what's going on. And Abram, I know what things look like right now. I know, Abram, you've been waiting for 24 years to see some things come true. And he said, let me remind you, first of all, listen to what he said in chapter 17. And the Lord appeared, listen to what he said. For the Lord appeared to Abram, verse 1, and said to him, hey, remind yourself of this, that I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. You know what God was saying? I think he was saying this to Abram, and I think it applies to us as well. Take your eyes off your circumstances and take your eyes off the land that I've promised you and off the kids who are going to be kings. And take your eyes and your mind off of thinking I'm going to make your name great. I want you to watch this. Take your eyes off of your challenges and I want you to look at me. He said, I am God Almighty. For I'm the one who thought all this up in the first place. I'm the one who devised this plan. I'm the one who gave you life in the first place. And I'm the one who sovereignly allows all things to happen. Let me just say, that's a real puzzle. It's a real puzzle piece. Have you ever wondered how in the world could God have a great plan in so many terrible stories? How can it be? And I think sometimes we just have to say that God's God and I'm not. That I don't understand His ways and His ways are far above mine and His ways are not our ways. And I understand this, that because of sin we experience death and pain and fear and worry and anxiety. And we need to understand this as well. We are living in a cursed world. The world has been cursed. It was. And if you read your Bible, you know that. We're living on a cursed earth. And I'll say this, you know, life happens. By faith, we accept that He does allow all things. Just like the story of Job, God allowed what happened to Job. He allowed it. And because of what Job had to walk through and because of the things Job had to experience, he knew God in a different way than he ever did before. God was saying, listen, I am God Almighty. I have not forgotten you. And I know how things look, but I have not forgotten you. Listen to what he told Abram. And I think it applies for all of us in whatever season we find ourselves in. Listen to what he said. For I am God, he reminded him of that. And then here's what he said. Practical application. He said, live in my presence and be blameless. He said, live. He didn't say visit. He said, live. And he said, dwell in my presence. Some translations say, walk before me. You see, here, God asked Abram, he asked for his submission and his silence. Probably a good thing to give him when we're defeated and when we're discouraged, to give the Lord our submission and our silence, his wholehearted obedience. Submission and silence are not many have mastered. And I want you to understand something, that what I'm sharing in this text is, it's not hocus pocus, and it's not just some self-help book. But when you are discouraged and when you're defeated and when you're devastated, can I tell you, friends are extremely important to have. Amen? In fact, Job found out how bad it is to have bad friends. Yeah, read your Bible. That's what happens. So friends are extremely important. Hey, I would say when you're defeated and when you're discouraged and When you're depressed and down and defeated, friends are important. I'd say the church is extremely important. I would say prayers are extremely important. I would say a community of believers is extremely important. People trying to lift you up is extremely important. But there's one thing that trumps all of them, and it is the presence of Almighty God. He's telling Abram to run to His presence. Psalm chapter 16, verse 11, he said, For you make known to me the path of life, for in your presence there's fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Chapter 16, verse 8, he says, For I've always let the Lord guide me because He is at my right hand, and I will not be shaken. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, Paul writes, Now may the God of hope, boy, we should be a hopeful people. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to look at one more thing in Genesis chapter 17. I want you to look at verse 3. The Lord said in verse 2, I will establish my covenant between you and I will multiply you exceedingly. Verse 3, I want you to watch this posture. And the Bible says in verse 3 that Abram fell on his face. Of course, falling down face first, of course, that was an act of submission and an act of worship. But I want you to know this is, He didn't have his fist up. He had his face down. You see, this tells us that God was important to him. And what God said was important to him. God's plan for his life was important to him. And by the way, what other choice did he have? What other choice do we have? You say, Pastor, what in the world do you mean by that? Well, no one else could give him a son and an opportunity to father an entire nation. Nobody else could give him that. No one else could give him land as far as his eyes could see. No one else could give him peace and purpose. And listen, it's the very same thing for us. You see, this world has little to offer. And it will always, always leave you wanting. It has little to offer a parent losing a child. It has little to offer a husband watching his wife die with a crippling disease. It has little to offer a marriage or a family in shambles. That's why he said to live in his presence and be blameless, face down, and not fist up. I want to say in closing, if you have responded into the Lord or to the Lord in the past in a different way, I'd just say come back. Just come back. It's amazing to me, over and over and over and over, story after story after story, crisis after crisis after crisis, God always has His arms open. And He's always inviting. Maybe not us, maybe not people. We don't always have our arms open. But God always does. And I would say this in closing, there is absolutely no other way to truly walk through defeat and discouragement. There's no other way but to have your face down and live in His presence and walk humbly. How did things end with Abraham? I'll spare you a few details, but turn to Hebrews chapter 11. You say, Pastor, you think Abram listened to what you just preached? Did he respond that way? He had a lot of bumps along the way, but listen to what history recorded of Abram, who's, of course, God changed his name to Abraham. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, and by faith, Abraham, when he was called, he obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. And by faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the promise, for he was looking for a city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And listen to what else the writer concludes. History wrote down about Abraham. Verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, he offered up Isaac, his only legitimate son, the heir to the promise, by the way. And he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. For it was he to whom it was said, "In Isaac your descendants shall be called." In fact, he considered that God was even able to raise people up from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. Discouraged, defeated, by faith, by faith, by faith. Father, man, I thank you so much for your word. And Father, I'm so grateful that you did not spare any details sharing with us the struggles of some of the great patriarchs of the faith. Father, I hope today that people would find encouragement in keeping our faces down and not our fists up. And Father, that we would truly live in your presence, desire your presence, knowing from which our help comes from. Father, I know people are experiencing difficulty and defeat. But our story's not over. And Father, that we would focus on the big picture, that you are God alone, and no matter, you know, you are worthy of our praise and our worship, our time, our talent, our very lives. Father, because we understand that there's no one else who can help us. There's no one else who can save us and radically change us. There's no one else who can get us through these storms of life. Father, I pray this morning, maybe there's someone here that's never placed faith and trust in you. Sure, they've tried to be a quote-unquote good guy or a good girl. But the reality is we've missed the mark. And we have all fallen short of the glory of God. If we're guilty of one thing, we're guilty of all. And so what that means is, Lord, we stand undone before you, and our goodness will never grant us a right relationship with you. Only by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life we could never live, who died a death we truly deserved, and there on the cross, he satisfied, he took the punishment of my sin, he satisfied the very wrath of God. And he offers us forgiveness and peace and joy in return. Lord, maybe there's someone here by faith who would repent of their sins and trust you. Turn from their sins and say, "Jesus, I want you. Lord, by faith, I believe you died on the cross for me. And Lord, I don't want to take you just as my Savior because I'm asking you to save me. But Lord, I want you to be Lord. I want you to call the shots. You're the boss. I want to line up with your will and what you have. And Lord, that I could focus on this bigger picture that you have." Lord, someone here today, maybe they'd ask you to and accept you as Lord and Savior. Father, for believers here, I know believers right here who have faced traumatic things in years or over years and years. Father, they encouraged me so much to still have a smile on their face. Lord, would you continue to comfort them and help them and strengthen them? And Lord, that we would run to your presence. Before we run anywhere else, we'd run to you. And by faith, we know that you are the only one who can heal us and help us. We do thank you for the friends you placed around us. We do thank you for the church you placed around us. But Lord, we desire your presence. So Father, I pray you'd ask to move now in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I want you to stand. This is our invitation. You can call upon the Lord right where you are. You can come to this altar. You can come speak with me. Come speak with Pastor Timmy, whatever the Lord leads you to do. But boy, I want you to find help, and I want you to find peace, and I want you to find rest today in the Lord.